Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. We need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we'll welcome your calls from out across America at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's actually the number to call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. The other is a number you call if you want to get in touch with us, but 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have this on the line, Pastor Chuck Baldwin, who has a church down there in Pensacola, Florida. And he is a minister of the gospel. He's also a prolific writer, and you can read his essays regularly at newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com, which, of course, is put up by our good friend Paul Walter, and where they have some 15 million hits a day. That's over half a million hits a month regularly. Half a million hits every single day, 15 million hits a month, half a million hits a day. That's a lot of information going out. But Pastor Baldwin is trying to get ministers across the country to accept their responsibility as Christians and as citizens to try to educate the American people about what's happening from a political point of view so that we can begin having an impact on society. And certainly we all feel very, very strongly about the issue of abortion and traditional family values, but if that's all you talk about, and then of course you blindly follow what the Republican Party is doing as far as the war, as far as the biggest spending administration in all history, the biggest deficits in all history, the biggest trade deficits in all history, and you just back them because they're pro-life, or they say they're pro-life, and yet, of course, with all their rhetoric, they still haven't saved any babies at all. And you have to ask yourself why, after being in office over 4 years, why nothing has really happened. Oh, we got through the partial birth abortion bill, but that really didn't do anything at all as far as saving any human lives. They just abort them earlier. Go ahead, Chuck, thank you so much for being with us this evening.
Well, thank you again, Dr. Stan, for allowing me to be on your show.
Well, I get started talking, and so you got to sort of interrupt me. Anyway, of course, you've done talk radio for many years. Chuck had his own program for a number of years, but he gave this up because I think he could do more good with writing and organizing. And so tell us your perception of what's going on in America today and why ministers should be involved.
Yes, well, my perspective is the same as yours, and obviously ministers did not give up their American citizenship when they were ordained to the gospel ministry, and that's the impression that some seem to have. It seems like they have the idea that once they're a minister that they're no longer able to speak on the issues, and that just is not true. First of all, the Bible is very clear about our responsibility as ministers of the gospel to proclaim God's truth. And secondly, as a citizen, we still have the freedom of speech, and we did not surrender that one bit. So both from a citizenship point of view and from a pastoral point of view, we have an obligation to lead our people into the knowledge of the truth.
Chuck, we certainly want to go ahead and address that issue about the Romans 13 when we get back here. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit more. You're really trying to organize ministers out across America, aren't you?
Well, we're trying to organize, we're trying to inform them and inspire them to get involved in their pulpits and in their communities, to speak the truth as they know it, and not to be afraid or intimidated by anything or anyone in that regard, whether it be their own church members or the influence of the community or people that would use the 501c3 organizational status or whatever the excuse might be, to recognize that first and foremost they are the servants of God. And more than that, they have the responsibility of speaking the Word of God without fear or favor. I just think that the ministers hold the key to the future of our country, and if we do not see an energized pulpit, I do not think we're going to salvage this republic.
And I agree with you totally. I believe that, of course, the reason that we have a republic at all is because of the great awakening that occurred back there in 1740, led by Jonathan Edwards and John Wesley, and the people returning back to God. And it was that the spiritual awakening that was started by Jonathan Edwards and Wesley, but then picked up by the ministers, so that when it came to discussing this idea of freedom, why the ministers were out in the front saying Christianity makes us free, not only before God, but before government at all, and government should not be oppressing the people.
Oh, absolutely. Without the inspiration and the leadership of the clergymen of that period, there is no question we would have never even begun to fight the war for independence, much less prevail. Without their assistance, the effort for freedom would have stymied from the very beginning. The Black Regiment, as it was called back in those days because of the black robes they wore, the ministers, many of whom did not serve but led through their preaching and teaching, and many of whom actually served in the colonial army, were the impetus for the revolutionary experience. And, you know, we have to have that again today. I think it's because of a lack of that courage that we are faltering as a ship, so to speak, without a rudder. We just don't seem to have any direction, and it's because the preachers are not providing that direction.
Hold that thought for just a moment here. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Pastor Chuck Baldwin, we're talking about the minister's responsibility for what's going on in society. And we're pointing out that really what really was the impetus for the American Revolution in 1775 was the influence of the ministers. And basically, America had become a totally a corrupt society in the 1730s. And by 1740, why, there was a real serious question whether our government, our colonies would survive. And then came Jonathan Edwards and John Wesley, and they led the first Great Awakening. And out of that came a group of determined ministers who not only talked about God, our obligation to God, but also talked about this concept of freedom under Christ, and that the tyranny that was being imposed by the King George III had to be opposed. Men, you know, really had to be opposed to tyranny. What was the old saying? Opposition to tyranny is loyalty to God, something of that sort.
Yeah, Ben Franklin said rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God.
And of course then came the American Revolution, and this wonderful experiment, not in democracy, as President Bush would have us believe, but in establishing a limited centralized government, a republic, and certainly not a democracy. So then, of course, we got in the situation we are today, because I personally believe our seminaries were infiltrated 50 or 60 or 70 years ago by those who would establish a world government. But one of the real problems we have today is the preaching and the interpretation of Romans 13. And then Hitler's Germany, why they neutralized the church there using Romans 13. Anybody who hasn't read Erwin Lutzer's wonderful book, Hitler's Cross, needs to get that. We do carry the book, pointing out how they used Romans 13 to neutralize the church. It's being used today. It's like deja vu all over again. Why don't you discussing Romans 13? Because I think it's so important for our listeners to understand. Maybe some of them don't even know what Romans 13 says. Sure. They're not really deeply involved in the scriptures. Could you explain what it says? And how it used to be interpreted and how it's interpreted now?
Sure. Romans 13 basically says that Christians are instructed to be obedient to the powers that be. It says that the powers that be, meaning civil government or any government for that matter, is ordained of God. And it is the duty of all Christians to obey lawful authority. We are not to be renegades, we're not to be anarchists, we are not without the rule of law. Indeed, law is of God. God is said in Scripture to be the lawgiver. So law comes from God. All law stems from the authority of God. And all human government, therefore, stems from the authority of God. So as Christians, we are to be obedient to those that are in authority over us. But that Scripture goes on to say that government itself has a responsibility to God. In other words, that government is not God. They do not have the right to become their own authority, but rather they are an authority under God. And see, that I think is where the mistake comes in. We have a humanistic worldview today, Dr. Stan, that says man is his own God. Well, if man is his own God, then he sets his own authority, and there's no one that can challenge that. But man is not his own God. Man is subservient to the will of God. God is the lawgiver, and therefore all just law must come from him. And so it says in that same passage then that government is not a terror to good works, but to evil, and that government is there for the purpose of rewarding righteousness or goodness and punishing evil and wickedness. And so it gives to government a framework with which to operate. In other words, not only is there authority, but there's responsibility. There's no person in a position of authority that is a king unto himself, whether he's a father, whether he's a pastor, a businessman, a politician, a policeman, a judge, no matter what his walk in life, we are all accountable to an overriding law of God over our jurisdiction, and therefore we don't have the right to govern outside of that jurisdiction. And so there's a jurisdiction that is placed there in Romans 13 that says to government, okay, here are your boundaries. You are there to protect the good and to punish the bad. But what happens when government inverts that. What happens when government becomes its own authority and begins to punish the good and protect the bad? Well, in that case, then government has begun to vault itself as God, to work outside the lawful framework that God himself has created for government. And in that case, there's no obligation for any Christian to obey such a government. In fact, throughout both Testaments, you find examples of that. I mean, look at the story of Daniel and the lion's den. What did he do? He defied government. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What did they do? They defied government. Look at John the Baptist. What did he do? He defied government. What did Peter and the apostles do? They defied government. I mean, from both Testaments, we find the example of this defiance of unlawful, ungodly, unjust government. And so our founding fathers understood that. I mean, they were grounded in natural law. They were grounded in common law, which formed the basis of our Constitution. Many people today don't realize, Dr. Stan, that our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our Declaration of Independence is nothing more than an application of common law or natural law, which is founded, of course, upon the Scriptures. And you can read the writings of Blackstone and so many others that go into that. But as a result of that, our founding fathers said, well, we will not, we dare not, we must not, as Christians, submit to the rule of tyranny, because that's outside the framework of God's established order. And they recognized where freedom, was bounded and where tyranny began. And so all of that theological as well as political understanding was the motivation for the Revolutionary War, and our history is filled with that. I think today, as we have a misapplication, it seems to be that Christians and preachers today are saying, well, we're supposed to obey government no matter what, whether or not they are within the framework of godly government or not, whether or not they are willing to submit themselves to the authority of God, whether or not they are abrogating their own responsibility. That never seems to come into the question. It's just submit to government no matter what. Well, if that's our philosophy, then God is not the lawgiver, and we do not have a rule of law. What we have then is a dictatorship, the rule of men, and man has become his own God. So that, in a nutshell, is basically the difference in how far we've gone toward a wrong understanding.
And I agree with you totally. I certainly, Christ defied the law when he went into the temple and started turning over the tables and using a whip.
Sure.
To flog the money lenders there, the people who were actually selling the animals for sacrifice. But let me play the devil's advocate and let me point out the argument that I've heard against your interpretation, which I tend to agree with. But they're going to say, but look, when Paul was writing this, he was writing to the Romans, and Rome at that time was a corrupt society. I mean, was there anything more corrupt than the various people who were in power? I've forgotten whether Nero was in power at that time. But
right.
All of these people were corrupt, and Paul is saying, even though they are corrupt, even though that there's tremendous, was a cult influence in ancient Rome at that time, why Paul is saying to the Romans, you are to submit to the government, because
No. That
government was installed by God. That is the interpretation that so many ministers use today to justify their inaction. So how would you respond to that?
Well, for example, one of the laws that the Roman government had at that time was that abortion was legal, as was infanticide. In fact, infanticide was a little bit more common than even abortion. Church history says that during the first century Rome, when Paul wrote, that it was very common to go out into the streets and the villages and the alleys of the city and find little infants that had been abandoned by their parents, just thrown out with the garbage, so to speak, and left to die. And this was such a repugnant thing to the Christians, who have such a valued appreciation of life. And by the way, the law protected the parents in doing this, and it was even against the law to go out and save the babies. They were considered useless to society, and the law protected the parents that would give them over to a very, very horrible death, very similar to what they're trying to do to Terry Schiavo, by the way. But the Christians they openly defied that. They went out into the streets and the villages and the lanes of their towns and they would find these babies. They would take them into their homes, and they would raise them. They would risk jail and imprisonment to do this. And it's interesting that by doing this, they were able to raise a generation of Christians. These little boys and girls became raised in Christian homes, and they became Christians, and they became dynamic witnesses for Christ. And it was interesting that some of the historians believe that because of the way that they were able to save so many hundreds and thousands of these little babies that became Christians in the empire, that had a great effect in helping to actually bring about the fall of the Roman Empire through the preaching of the gospel and the influence of the Christian church within the kingdom at the time. So that's just one example of how Christians defied the law of Rome, did not submit to Nero, to the Caesar at the time, and did what they knew in their hearts was the right thing to do. And of course, the Apostle Paul himself was executed by Nero. He was beheaded because of his preaching of the gospel after he was instructed to stop. So even in those examples, you find the case where people who were devoutly committed to Christ were willing to disobey civil authority in order to please God.
And I really think that that is what it's all about. I think that there is a conscious effort today to use Romans 13 to neutralize the church. And I think, of course, the people who preach this gospel, they can take one or two phrases out of the gospel to build a whole concept of Christianity on. But unfortunately, why I think what we see reflected in that, the progressive moral decay of our society, and it's happening because the Christians are not involved. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Pastor Chuck Baldwin, we're talking about the minister's responsibility in the society we live in. And really, as Pastor Baldwin has said, the reason we're in so much trouble today is because Christians are not accepting the responsibility as citizens of this country, because we're citizens of this country. We are Christians. We're citizens of God's kingdom. But of course, if we're not involved, why should we be at all surprised that they would take God out of our schools and prayer out of our schools and the Ten Commandments out of certainly public institutions? Should we be surprised that our children are confused and turning their back on God? And of course, this is a direct result, in my estimation, of the refusal of the ministers of this country to accept the responsibility that God has given to them. What do you think?
Oh, I think you're exactly right. And I really believe that it is the duty of the pastors and the ministers to be the beacon of hope and liberty to people throughout this country. And we were, I say we preachers, we were until I think maybe started back in the 60s, and it's just escalated to the point now that most pastors are, I hate to say it, but for whatever reason, they're not up front in leading the people in the ways of God and righteousness, in the ways of liberty and peace. And as a result, our people are like sheep without a shepherd. They really don't have direction. And you can see it everywhere you go. I mean, it's prosperity theology, it's entertainment evangelism, it's big buildings and budgets and entertainment and recreation, and you know, we've got all these programs and everything. But where's the truth? Where is the hard reality of the Bible? Where are the preachers standing up like trumpets, which is what God said to Jeremiah, lift up your voice like a trumpet. And that gives us clear, bold, forceful sound, and there's no mistaking the sound of the trumpet. And yet, you know, I think most of the preachers today, they sound like harmonicas or something. there's no clear, not to insult harmonica players, but there's just something that clear, bold stand in the pulpit and in the community. And as a result, we're a very confused and aimless society today.
Well, you know, I think that's a few ministers that do have television ministries who are very outspoken. And, of course, it's amazing. I think that so many people are just looking for, for leadership, that they rally behind these ministers who talk about patriotism. because I think most Americans are patriotic.
Sure.
And they talk against abortion, and I think that that is wonderful. And they talk about the Christian history of our country, and I think that's so important. And then the next thing we know, they're backing the war in Iraq, and they're backing everything the administration is doing, and their people are sort of blindly going along because they agree with them on some issues, and that they don't see that we are involved in an immoral war. There is no justification for America to be attacking Iraq simply because we thought they might have some weapons of mass destruction, which the president's father had given to Saddam Hussein. He knew very well that under George W. Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, why they had sold Saddam the biological and chemical war weapons, and suddenly we're going to have to go to war because the president's father had sold those weapons. Shouldn't he be held responsible if Saddam Hussein is evil? Isn't the man who sold him the weapons equally evil? We're going to be back here in just a moment with Pastor Chuck Baldwin to explore what's going on today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Pastor Chuck Baldwin. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd like to participate in our conversation, because we simply are discussing the issues, what's unfolding today, from a Christian perspective, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And certainly Pastor Baldwin's heart is in trying to reach the ministers and get them mobilized, and he's putting on meetings for ministers. Would you like to tell our listeners out across America how they or their minister could get in touch with you
right.
and become involved in trying to do something? Because we don't need an awful lot of ministers. We've got to start someplace. There are a lot of good ones out there that just need the leadership and need to know that they're not alone. So
Yes, thank you very much. The best way would be to have them go to my website and sign up for my newsletters, which will keep them informed as to any meetings and organized activities, and as well as a summary of the day-to-day issues that must be dealt with. And that website is www.chuckbaldwinlive, that's all one word, chuckbaldwinlive.com. Again, that's .chuckbaldwinlive.com. And if they'll go there, there's a place easily seen where they can sign up for these columns. That would be probably the quickest way to start getting involved and informed in some of these things. And just to say, too, that, and I won't go into details now because they're not really firm, but we're working now toward a very special meeting this summer, probably in August, where that we hope to gather many, many scores and even hundreds of Christian leaders, ministers, pastors, for what I think will be a very strategic and important symposium on Christian liberty. And we'll say more about that in the weeks and months to come. But if they'll go to my website and get signed up to the email columns, that'll be the surest and quickest way to find out these things.
And give that website just one more time.
Okay, again, it's www.chuckbaldwinlive, that's B-A-L-D-W-I-N, chuckbaldwinlive, all one word, .com.
And, of course, you can go up on News with Views, and you'll very often find Chuck Baldwin's, Pastor Chuck Baldwin's, mm-hmm. articles posted there on all sorts of issues, and they're sound, and they're well worthwhile reading. And understanding the philosophy of freedom is so instrumental and fundamental to beginning to take back our freedom. Mm-hmm. But you can't have a government that provides for us from the cradle to the grave without having a government that can control us from the cradle to the grave.
Mm-hmm.
And every government that can provide whatever we want, we've got to be able to take whatever we have. And my fear is that if we continue our current path of imperialism, and believe me, this is an imperialistic policy, and it didn't just start with a George W. Bush. It's been going on for a long time under both the Republicans and the Democrats. We have troops stationed in between 120 and 140 nations in the world today. Why are they there? So that we can control their governments. I was just reading this evening where the Indonesian government is welcoming American troops coming in to train their military. And what are they going to do with their military? Are they going to defend themselves against Osama bin Laden or against India or Malaysia? No, the Indonesians are going to use their military to control their people. So we are sending our troops, stationing over there to train the Indonesians. And, of course, that is because the government there is doing what we want them to. And believe me, if they weren't doing what we want them to do, why we would make certain that they were replaced, there'd be a revolution, or somebody in the position of power would have a terrible accident, and there'd have to be a new government. And if there was an election, why, if we didn't like the results of the election, we'd demand a new election. We have an imperialistic policy. This is never what America was to be.
Absolutely not. I mean, everyone should read George Washington's farewell address. And, you know, that was the pretty much the compass for our country for at least 100 years or so. Every president for at least a century tried in one way, well, maybe except for Lincoln, tried in one way or another to follow the precepts outlined in Washington's farewell address. And he's very clear about foreign entanglements. Of course, John Quincy Adams said that we're not a nation that goes abroad looking for monsters to destroy, but of course we are now.
And I really think that's the real problem. That, you know, the average American doesn't like to believe that there are people in our government, in the leadership of both political parties, whose dedication is not to the United States or individual freedom or to God, but to this idea of a new world order and a new world religion. But before we can have a new world order, we've got to control those countries throughout the world and make sure their leaders will go along with our program, the new world order, the new world religion. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Pastor Chuck Baldwin, and we're just talking about the quandary we face as a nation. Most people are offended when you talk about America and our leaders wanting an empire. And yet, of course, if you really study what's happened over the last 50 or more years, you'll find that this has been the major thrust of American foreign policy. We conquered Japan in the Second World War, and our troops are still occupying Japan. Now, why are we occupying Japan today? I mean, we're told we're the only superpower. Russia no longer is a threat. China is no longer a threat. So why do we have 50,000 or more troops still stationed in Japan 60 years after the peace treaty was signed? Why do we still have tens of thousands of troops stationed in Germany and in Europe so long after the war? Well, they're there to guard Europe from Russians. But we've been helping the Russians. We've been transferring them technology. We've lent them literally tens of billions of dollars, you know, over the last 50 years on one hand. And then we have to, of course, keep our troops in Europe to protect Europe from the danger of those wicked communists. So what's really wrong with this? How do we explain to people and make them understand that there really are people who want America to dominate the world?
I don't know. If I knew the answer to that, I would certainly try to utilize it. I think that the American people, because of their infatuation with television news, they don't read as much as they used to, whereas Americans used to get their news pretty much from newspapers and written sources, but now it's mostly visual. And that's such a controlled propaganda. Add to that the public schools, which, you know, do not teach American history in any shape, manner, form. The pulpits are ignorant and silent on the biblical issues that relate to all of these things. So I think it's a combination of things, Dr. Stan, that contribute to this laxity and misunderstanding of what the purpose of freedom is all about. We've lost sight of our independence, our autonomy. We're now, you know, in a globalized society. We see ourselves as part of an international conglomerate in one way or the other. And of course, the leaders of our country seem to promote that, regardless of party. So I don't know the answer to your question, but I do know that you are correct, that we are quickly losing our independence, and we are melting very fast into a global economy, a global government. And obviously when that happens, we will cease to be a constitutional republic, and very quickly our constitutionally protected
liberty... Hold that thought right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this evening is Pastor Chuck Baldwin, and we were simply talking about the fact that contrary to what most people really believe, America has become an empire. We are the most powerful nation in the world. We actually spend more money on our military than the next 20 nations in the world do on their military. So we have, our military is more expensive certainly far more powerful than any other nation or any dozen other nations in the world. Now, we certainly don't have the manpower that the other nations do, but we have the technology, we have the air power, we have the nuclear power, and believe me, we have all sorts of other secret weapons that, you are not even being told about. But these are operations, they're secret weapons. They have the ability to track you from outer space with a satellite. They can read the newspaper you're reading from outer space, but, aw, shucks, we can't find that 6'6" fellow named Osama bin Laden who towers over all the other Arabs. We can see things in day, we can see things in night, but, well, I guess he never comes out day or night because we have no idea of where Osama bin Laden is. We just can't find him, or maybe we know exactly where he is, but we need an enemy to rally the people behind the government. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience and you're interested in this subject, which is of the Christian's obligation to be involved in what's happening in the world, and how, of course, the idea of an American empire is the antithesis of the idea of America, of a nation of free men, living free with limited government, because you can't have liberty unless you have limited government. And if you want to have an empire, you want to have America controlling the world, then you have to have an all-powerful government that control not only the countries of the rest of the world, but the people in this country as well. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. Our guest this evening, Pastor Chuck Baldwin, who is doing everything he can to mobilize the ministers of this country, those people who still believe the ministers have an obligation for what's happening in society and cannot excuse their position by saying, oh, well, I don't want to be involved. I'm just going to preach the gospel. So I believe, as Pastor Baldwin does, that the reason that we are in the problems we are, the mess we are today in America, is because the Christian church as a whole has abandoned society to the internationalists, to the imperialists, and of course is sitting back on his laurels saying, we don't have to be involved. And, well, I think that ministers are held to a higher standard than I am, fortunately, but I think that they're going to have to answer for God for their refusal to become involved in the affairs of society and refusal to be effective. You can talk all you want to about, abortion, how terrible it is, but if you back people and put them in power and they do absolutely nothing, then who's responsible? Are they? Or is the minister who backs people who do nothing? So pick up the story from there.
Yeah, Dr. Stan, thank you. You're exactly right. And I'll just remind the listeners that, first of all, while the gospel is the most important message to the individual sinner who needs personal salvation in Christ through his death and resurrection, let's remember that the Bible is composed of 66 books, 1,189 chapters, both testaments. And when you take the verses that deal with the gospel, they would comprise but a very small percentage of the entire Bible. And yet the preacher is instructed to preach the whole Word of God, the whole counsel of God. And so his obligation is more than just preaching the gospel. His obligation is preaching the entire Word of God. Beyond that, I would say that you really can't even preach the gospel without dealing in some way with the issues that we're discussing tonight, because the scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, when you call him Lord, That means you are calling him sovereign, you're calling him master, you're calling him God, redeemer. That means you are giving to him, or should I say you are recognizing him, to be the God of the universe, the Lord of our lives, the master, and so forth. Well, if that's the case, then we certainly cannot give that same devotion and allegiance to any man or any government of men. If he, Christ, is the Lord, then he is the final authority over us. And right away, we're confronted with that subjectiveness that the Christian must face regarding his allegiance to Christ. And when anyone or any group of ones decide that they are going to usurp the authority of Christ and his lordship in our hearts and our lives and our families, etc., then right away we're forced into a conflict and we have to make a choice. So, I mean, we can't even preach the gospel without recognizing the lordship of Christ, without recognizing his absolute authority over our lives, and that no man or no government has the right to come between our loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, well, let's go, first of all, to David, who's calling from Yakima, Washington. Hi, David.
This New World Order, global government, it's been...
It's what now?
It's been... These people just trying to bring this about, they worked very long and very hard at this.
Right.
And I believe it's through supernatural forces.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that behind this whole movement for the world government are dark occult forces, and that's the subject of my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and so many of the books we carry. You're absolutely right. This whole thing is energized by organized evil.
Well, being supernatural beings, I believe they are able to transcend space and time and manipulate all that we know.
Well, I think that, of course, this gets us into UFOs, this gets into some of these supernatural happenings. And yes, I believe, of course, that there is a tremendous spiritual blindness on the part of our people. Chuck, how would you respond to what David is saying?
Well, I'll be reminded of the scripture that says that the devil is the god of this world. He's also called the prince and power of the air. Well, we believe the scripture is true, so that means it's exactly what it says, that the world system, which includes the governments of the world, the leadership of the world in general, is under the control, the influence of the evil one. And America is an exception to this rule of history. I mean, people don't realize how exceptional the United States history is. We're the aberration. Our founding fathers declared independence from this kind of a new world order. I mean, go back in history and read the writings and sentiments of the people of that era, and they thought themselves in the last days of the last days. They thought themselves to be being ushered into a new world order. All the things that we're hearing today, these are the kind of things that they talked about 200 years ago. And yet they were willing to step up by faith in obedience to God and declared their independence, and they stated very clearly that their loyalty and their allegiance was to God, and they codified the principles of common law, natural law, into the Declaration and the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, and they based the government upon a biblical model. And because of that, God has just blessed this country with freedom that's unlike anything the world has ever seen. But we're slipping away from that, and we're now going back to this world order that the gentleman is talking about.
And David, I think the one important thing that very, very few people recognize is that there have always been two forces in America. One, the Christian, and we're going back to the time when the Pilgrims came here, back in 1620, and at that very same time, a group was sent over by Francis Bacon from England, the group of Rosicrucians. Their job was to take over control of this country, and for this idea of creating this world cult system, preparing the way for the Antichrist. Now, they may not have realized it was for the Antichrist, but they wanted to restore Atlantis, it was. They believed America was the New Atlantis. And if you want to get the documentation on that, the writings of Manly P. Hall, who was a Luciferian, we have his books. It's called The Secret Destiny of America. Hey, anything else you want to say, David, before we let you go?
Yes, also the founder of the Illuminati, Adam Weishaupt, he's an admitted Luciferian, and he sent his people over here to infiltrate our government.
But, yeah, that also, was some time later, but you're absolutely right.
Also, do you believe that that these supernatural beings are behind the blotting out of Yahweh's name in the Bible, replacing it with titles and such?
Well, I'll let Pastor Baldwin respond to that. Thanks very much for calling, David. Anyway, what were your thoughts on that? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah,
have they rewritten the Bible to change the structure of the Bible?
Okay, that was the question was because I couldn't really hear.
He basically asked if they had these demonic beings, if they had actually rewritten the Bible and removed the name of Yahweh from it.
Well, I'm sure that, you know, of course, I read and preach and teach from the King James Bible, but I know that there are translations that have been written of late that are definitely not true to the you know, historic text, and they, you know, tend to not only downplay his name but also his blood atonement, his virgin birth, and some of the other cardinal doctrines of the scriptures. So there is no question that some of these modern translations are inspired of something other than the Holy Spirit.
And certainly there were two fellows in the end of the 19th century called Westcott and Horton. They were actually out of Cambridge University. They were into occultism and theosophy. And, of course, they were instrumental in bringing in new translations of the Bible. Mm-hmm. Now, they were not demonic beings. They were just people who'd given themselves over to the dark side. And their influence on modern-day Christianity is amazing, and it's amazing how many ministers I talk to, and they've got Westcott and Hort's books in their library,
right.
And they don't know there's anything wrong with them.
Right. Yeah, and I think there's also a tendency among the intelligentsia of society to try to give themselves a position of knowledge that's above God. In other words, I think they're vaulted up with pride and arrogance, and like the scripture says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I think there's quite a bit of that in our seminaries and in our colleges and universities. These professors are just preoccupied with their own intelligence. My dad used to say they're educated beyond their intelligence.
I love to use that. And we've got Tim calling from Indianapolis. Hi, Tim. Have a question for our guest.
Yes, Dr. Stan, we are looking at an amalgamation of communism and capitalism. But Pastor Baldwin, a bill of legislature has been introduced, H.R. 235, the Houses of Worship Free Speech Restoration Act, which will free pastors to speak boldly and open about moral and political issues without fear of Caesar or the IRS.
All right, I'm not acquainted with that.
I know what you're talking about. That's a bill that was introduced by Representative Jones from North Carolina, I believe. And I know this is a well-intended bill, and there's nothing wrong with the bill per se. I mean, if I was a member of Congress, I would certainly vote for it. But let me tell you the danger of this. By putting this bill as an answer to the problem of preachers not speaking out, what we're saying is that government is giving us, as pastors, the authority to speak or not to speak. We have forgotten that our freedoms come from God, not from government. We're supposed to speak out whether government says we should or not. We have an obligation, not only as free men, but as Christian men and as ministers of the gospel, to preach the truth. Our ordination comes from God, not from government. Our freedom comes from God, not from government.
I think that's really such a very, very valid point.
Yeah.
And what we're really doing is acknowledging, Tim, that government really has the authority, but it's going to grant that to us. And if you read the Declaration of Independence, there's nothing there that talks about government granting us freedoms. God gave us our freedom to life.
I realize it. Well, I think it'll give Christianity, though, a shot in an arm, a boost.
Well,
I mean, we've been silenced, obviously muzzled.
Well, what we need are maybe a little bit more courage on the part of our ministers. Let me tell you, I think that's
a mistaken observation. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
And I know what you're saying, but The problem, you take, okay, so you say the government says you can't do this and you can't do that, and so a preacher says, well, you know, I would speak out, but the government says I can't do that, and I don't, well, that's a tree that the preacher is hiding behind. And my contention is if you cut down the tree, and there he is exposed and open and free to do what God wants him to do, what's he going to do? He's going to run and look for another tree to hide behind, because the problem is not the tree, the problem is the cowardice of the man who hides behind it. And I think that's what we have going on. We have people that are cowardly and afraid to speak the truth for whatever the reason, and they're using these things as a tree or an excuse to hide behind.
Amen.
And also, real quick, we know that Solomon was a very smart man. And a couple of his proverbs, do you find any correlation or juxtaposition in today's world? Like, the people shudder with the wicked king, George Bush, dropping bombs, B-52 bombs.
Well, that's not exactly in the scripture, but I know what you're talking about. Okay, let's get Chuck's response to
and
that,
real
and then
quick,
we're going to have to go to the next caller. Go ahead.
The people will rejoice with the righteous king.
Right.
Is he speaking of basically maybe Jesus, or will we ever have a righteous king? Thank you.
Well, not totally righteous, not until the Prince of Peace, who is Christ, rules and reigns, of course. But that verse is simply saying, when the righteous run to authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Meaning that the policies and programs of a righteous man will tend to the happiness of the citizenry, whereas the policies and programs of an evil man will tend to their discomfort. And that is true, no doubt.
Amen. Well, let's go to Robert, who's calling from Denver and been waiting patiently on the line. Hi, Robert. How are you?
Good. I've been waiting very patiently, as a matter of fact.
I'm sorry. Well, you ended up third in the line, so...
Okay, that's fine. Dr. Stan, thanks very much for taking my call. Appreciate it. A big thanks to you and the pastor there for doing what you're doing. You're two great men who are doing great things. Pastor Baldwin, I've been reading your articles and checking out your website about 2 months now, and I must say I find you to be very lucid. You have a very firm grip. Grasp of what's going on in our world, and you've got it all figured out, I think. You're clearly a very Christian man. You put God first in your life, and I think that's the way to go, because as my pastor says, if God be for me, who can be against me? Real quick, as you know, you used to have a nationwide radio show that could be heard across the country, but since then you scaled it back to just your local Pensacola area. Any plans to take that back nationally or to the internet so the people like me can call on and can hear you again?
You faded out on me. Did you ask me about what?
Just asking if you're going to go back on a nationwide radio program.
Perhaps. Not in the immediate future, however, but that could happen. I still have my studio, and everything is ready for me to. All I got to do is push a button, and we're back up on the air. People ask me that all the time, and I really appreciate the caller asking.
Sure.
Yeah, but one last thing. The thing is that you can't do everything, and I think if Chuck Baldwin could begin to get the ministers of this country together, that would be something he could do so well. I can't do that. I mean, I'm called to do a lot of talk radio, but you know, the other things, there's a division of labor here, and I think God put on Chuck's heart to do specific things. He's working awful hard, but you know, I think maybe he'll do a lot more good in what he's doing.
Well, we'll see.
Sure.
Hold that thought for just a moment.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan and our guest this evening, Pastor Chuck Baldwin. Robert, do you have one more quick question? Because we're almost out of time.
Sure. Thanks. Appreciate it, Doctor. One last quick question for you, Pastor. Is there any way I can get any of your old radio shows? Are they archived anywhere on your website?
No, they're not available. You talk about the radio shows themselves. No, they're not. Now, I do have all of my 2004 columns on a CD that you can purchase. Go to my website, and there's a place there that you can get all of the columns that I wrote in 2004, and it has word search capability. You can put in any word, and immediately all the columns I wrote that have that word will come up. So we do have our columns on a CD, at least for the year 2004, but no, not the radio programs.
Okay, thanks very much, Robert. Bye-bye.
Thanks for your help, gentlemen. See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, you know, I think that what you're doing is so vitally important, and I really believe that if you can reach the ministers and coordinate them, and there are a lot of good ministers out there, I think a lot of them are afraid of those that to speak out for fear that their parishioners will be angry or they'll lose people from their church. Isn't that really a problem?
I really believe that's it. I've analyzed it. Of course, I've been a minister. I'm in my 30th year now as a pastor. So I'm not a novice. I'm not a beginner. And I really don't think it's the fear of government. I don't think it's the fear of the Internal Revenue Service. So there could be a little bit of that. But I really think the biggest problem is the fear of the congregation. The pastors have lost that courage and boldness in the pulpit for fear of whatever ramification may result inside their own congregation. And I think, you know, go back to it, you know, we have the kind of government that we deserve and want. We have the kind of pastors that we deserve and want. And the people have shown that they don't want men necessarily to preach the truth. They want to have their ears tickled. They want to be comfortable. They want to be entertained. They want to have a social gospel. And so that's what they demand of their preachers, and the preachers have acquiesced. So I really think that you put your finger on the heart of the problem.
Well, you keep doing what you're doing, and we hope that you'll come on and be our guest again in the not-too-distant future.
Anytime.
Let's get your website out just one more time for our listeners.
Thank you. It's www.chuckbaldwinlive. That's B-A-L-D-W-I-N, chuckbaldwinlive.com.
chuckbaldwinlive.com.
Right.
Get Chuck's information. Read his articles on his website. Read them on newsreviews.com. And, of course, if you have a minister, you know a minister who feels as he does, then put them in touch with Chuck so they can begin to organize the ministers across America. Because, believe me, the one thing the enemy fears more than anything is awakened and conserved Christian truth.
No,
God bless you. Thanks so much, Chuck.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's always great.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, why not give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you would, of course, like to get a free copy of our January newsletter, it really goes into imperialism and how it works. And, of course, it's an economic imperialism. It's a political imperialism. And it's a book review of a book written by a man named John Perkins, who worked for the corporatocracy, a group he calls. Now, Mr. Perkins is, in many respects, far more liberal than I am on many issues, but at least speaking from a man who worked from the inside on how it is that we are able to control other governments. It's an excellent, excellent summary of what's really going on in the world today. If you'd like a free copy of my January newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. A lot of people say, what can I do? Well, of course, we tell you to tell others, but if you are in a community and they have a cable access television, why, you can actually get the right to play programs, and we'll be glad to send you some of our videos as long as you promise to get them on and get them shown several times. So if you have a community access television or a cable television in your area, why, you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And we'll make arrangements to get you a video. And after you get that one shown, we'll get you another video. That you can use our videos over and over again because they're designed to be instructional, to let people understand the true nature of the spiritual battle in which we're engaged. So this is something you can do, and most cable television units do have a public access channel, and you can get our programs played. Our producer tonight has made some videos for me, and he's had one video we have called None Dare Call a Genocide On 6 times, and not only in our community but in other communities. We have a new video by Bill Sardi that's available now. Of course, if you don't have a community access television, they're available. These videos are available through our ministry, or as the videos certainly they sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, 4-hour, or 10-hour versions. And, of course, we can't just give you those. But if you'd like to get more information on them, or you'd like to show them to your children and understand the origin of the satanic music that our children are listening to, and, yes, in some instances, it's even infiltrated our churches, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. HIV war, because we are at war. America, our future, our families are under attack today. And then, of course, we'll be mentioning that we still have a few cases of my book. That's Brotherhood of Darkness, and, of course, 62 books to the case. And if you'd be interested in getting a full case of the books, why, of course, it's an unbelievable offer, but it's not going to be available much longer. Give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. But if you get the books, we want you, of course, to get them in other people's hands. A wonderful teaching tool to explain to people the true nature of what we're up against. There truly is a spiritual battle going on for the souls of men. And the average people don't even know there's a battle going on, much less that they and their families are a target. So I remember, if you'd like to, of course, to learn more about the availability of the cases of my book, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day and not get much of anything accomplished. But we are on the Internet 5 hours a day, and the various links will be there. Archive programs, and then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. But please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow evening at the same time, may the Lord be with you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the stations we're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Bob Chapman. Now, Bob is one of the few people who's been around, involved in this battle for the survival of Western civilization longer than I have. I think he got started a few years before I did. But, of course, he's been in the stock market, the stockbroker, for many years. And now he does primarily consulting work. But his biggest effort is to publish on a weekly basis something called The International Forecaster. And I will tell you that this is about 40 pages. It comes in once a week. And I get through that just about the time that the next one comes. But all sorts of analysis of what's going on. And you will find things there that you will never find elsewhere. Bob has a tremendous grasp of what's going on, knows many of the key players in the whole world financial system, and an excellent analysis of history, of the financial forces at work. And, of course, if you hope to survive in the difficult times that lie ahead, you really need to have an analysis of what's going on, because I fear that most people are going to lose almost everything they possess materially as this whole house of cards, which we call the American financial system, begins to unravel, because there's no incidence in all history where a nation has gone onto a fiat money system where that system has not eventually been destroyed, and with it the nation. Good evening, Bob Chapman.
Well, good evening, and it's very nice to be back again.
Well, why don't you just give us an analysis, and of course you haven't talked to this audience before. Why don't you tell this audience a little bit about yourself so they'll know who you are, and then we'll get into some of the specifics and open up our lines for questions.
I worked for the United States government for several years in counterintelligence, went to university. I was a stockbroker for 28 years, specializing in gold and silver shares, probably the largest in the world. And about 15 years ago or so, I retired, and that lasted about 6 months to a year, and I started publishing again. I had published for my clients starting in 1967, and then in 1978, Gary Allen and I got together and wrote the Gary Allen Report. And that lasted actually for about 4 years after Gary's death. And so I've been writing for a long, long time. My first article that I ever wrote for major consumption was in the American Mercury in 1967. And I have been on thousands of radio and television programs. I don't do any TV anymore because they won't let me on. They don't like the content of what I have to say, and I really enjoy doing it, and I enjoy writing the International Forecaster, which comes out by email once a week, 48 or more times a year, and we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month, and we cover business, finance, economics, and social and political issues.
Well, you know, as Christians, we are listening to Alan Greenspan. He sounds increasingly, in the statements he's been making this last 4 weeks or so, as if he really doesn't think that we can maintain our economic system. He's talking about instability of our financial system. I don't think people realize the implications of what he's saying. When he says that what we're doing now with our massive debt and massive spending dangers the stability of our economic system, what he's really saying is the whole house of cards could come tumbling down. And hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest, Bob Chapman. Bob, why don't you pick up the story from there?
Well, I think what you can say about Alan Greenspan is that he told us recently that he's confused. Now, the reason he's confused is he doesn't want to answer any questions. He has chosen and made it quite well known that he was going to choose, in order to stave off depression in the United States, inflation. He was going to continue to increase M3, which is money and credit, and he was going to use the repo pool, as it's called, to enter into markets and to manipulate them, as opposed to what he has taken on himself on this journey. You can compare to that to what Paul Volcker did starting in 1981. Paul took the interest rates to 20%. Government bonds were paying 14%. And what he did was he purged the system. And it's really the only thing that you can do in order to offset the extravagance that had taken place within the American economy up to that time.
And what, of course, you're speaking now of the time of the Carter years, when, of course, they were just spending money like it was going out of style. We'd had the Vietnam War. We hadn't paid for the Vietnam War. Everything was being done on borrowed money and inflating the money supply. And Paul Volcker, to keep the system and keep the stability of our currency, had to raise interest rates to almost 20% and just almost shut down the economy. But he was able to stave off the destruction of our currency system, regain financial stability, and then start, after cracking the monetary system and really bankrupting a lot of people, then we could start and begin to grow all over again.
Well, this is what our economy is going to have to go through again, whether Mr. Greenspan likes that or not. He terminates as the Federal Reserve Chairman next January, which is not that far away, and he is trying to keep the system afloat until he's out of that position, and he's doing that by continuing to increase M3 by approximately 6%.
Could you explain to our listeners who don't understand what an M3 is, what that term means as far as they're concerned?
Well, it's an increase in money and credit. When the Fed wants to increase the amount of money in circulation, they give a instruction to the U.S. Treasury, which in turn prints money.
Hold that thought for just a moment, isn't it? Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have with us Bob Chapin, and he's talking about what's going on today, and he feels that Alan Greenspan is trying to keep the whole thing together, the financial house of cards together, until he's out of office in January or February of next year. And, of course, as somebody once said, après moi, le déluge. That means after me, the deluge, after me, why everything falls apart. So right now, of course, Bob is pointing out that Alan Greenspan is actually increasing the amount of money and credit that's available by about 6% a year. Now, that, of course, would really be reflected down the line in an inflation rate of at least that high or much higher, wouldn't it, Bob?
Yes, it will. There's a couple of factors that have been holding inflation down. The main one is inexpensive goods coming in from third world countries, such as China, the exodus of jobs caused by the transference of factories to third world countries, and the outsourcing of workers, which in turn causes less wage increases. And also, the third world countries that are trading with us and accumulating these dollars, what they are doing is they are buying U.S. treasuries, and that's keeping the interest rates from moving up. The third world countries also print their own currency, buy dollars, and in turn buy treasuries in order to keep the value of their currencies down to make their goods more competitive as they are exported to the United States. So they're involved in a conundrum here, and sooner or later, one of two things have to happen. Either the people out there who are holding all these treasuries, and most of them today are Asian countries, are going to start selling, or they're going to continue to try to keep the system afloat by continuing to buy treasuries and in turn create tremendous inflation in the United States. So no matter which way you go here, it's going to be pretty nasty, and because they'll take probably another 35% haircut on the dollars that they're holding, they probably will try to keep the system functioning as long as possible, and that means we're going to get an awful lot of inflation. Now, inflation is not 3.5% or 5.5% has been stated by people outside the box, so to speak. It's 9.5%, and anybody who buys things today knows that it is that amount. And so if inflation is going to increase this time, we have a lot more debt outstanding. We have far more problems we had in 1981 or at any other time in history. And I believe that what's going to happen is that inflation this time will go to 20 or 25%. And the only thing that's going to go up in value is gold and silver.
Well, certainly I'm very, very concerned about what's happening because there's no way, of course, that we can continue exporting our jobs, exporting our factories. I was very surprised to read your newsletter, and you pointed out that over 50% of the major factories in the United States now had been set offshore, had been taken offshore, and our government is doing everything they can to encourage factories to leave the United States to go to foreign countries. Certainly, they can get the financing financing through international banks and financiers. They don't have to pay taxes. They get cheap labor. They don't have to worry about pensions. They don't have to worry about health care. They don't have to worry about environmental impact studies. And of course, everything is being done to encourage our factories to leave. I was even told by a congressman that if a company leaves and builds a factory, say, over in China or somewhere in Asia, and then that factory is eventually nationalized, these factories have been guaranteed that the American taxpayers will pick up the cost of the loss of the factory, not only what they have lost, but perhaps even two or three times what they've lost. So it would almost be to their advantage if those factories were nationalized. In fact, any employer with an ounce of sense would move out of this country, wouldn't they, Bob?
That's right, and their insurance is covered by the Import-Export Bank, which is funded by the United States government, which is funded by the American taxpayer.
So basically what we're doing is encouraging our factories to move out of this country, and that's really why, of course, more and more the people are losing their jobs, and why certainly the salaries in this country are not keeping up with inflation. Well, in fact, we just got a letter this week from a couple of supporters, a man and wife, who've been very good supporters of our ministry for a long time, and suddenly they're both out of a job. And, you know, they just can't, of course, continue supporting us. We understand. We're going to continue sending them our newsletter and a sign of appreciation for their help in the past. But I'm concerned that more and more good people are going to lose their jobs. They're going to lose their income. And if they're in debt, they stand to lose everything, don't they?
Yes, they do. And in every program I think I've been on for the last several years, I told people, please, get rid of your credit card debt, which is your most expensive debt, and then your revolving debt, and then the debt on your vehicles, just in case one of you over the next few years, and there's usually two breadwinners, one of you lose your job. And there's a perfect example of a situation like that. Whether they were in debt or not, I don't know. But the point is that you can lose your job, because the corporations are desperately sending all of their jobs out of the country, and it's just killing it. It is ripping the heart right out of our country. And the reason it's being done, just like the invasion we have from into the country by illegal aliens, the reason it's being done is Americans will never willingly and knowingly accept world government because of the Constitution and the system that we have. And the only way that the elitist internationalists can get people to do that is to bring them economically to their knees. And so, by design, the economy of the United States is being destroyed.
And I think that this is not happening by accident. I think it's happening by design. But people cannot believe that a Republican administration would do that. After all, the Republicans are pro-business. They're pro-free enterprise. They're the responsible people. It's the Democrats that are the irresponsible ones. And, well, is that really true, or is it that this is a policy that's really birthed by both the leaders of both political parties? Aren't both political parties dedicated to this globalist idea?
Yes, they are. But I think in the case of the conservatives, nobody in general listened to them for many, many years. I mean, you and I both know, we've been involved since the early 1960s. That it's been a very, very hard road and very unpopular to tell people the truth of what was evolving. And so what's going to happen is that people have just got to come to realize that there's something untoward going on. The people in the conservative movement and the leadership in the conservative movement have chosen to hitch their wagon to George Bush and his plan, and as the only way that they could tell their story, so to speak. And in the process of doing so, they've essentially made a deal with the devil. And as you know, that doesn't work. And so what has happened is George Bush is using conservatism as a vehicle, but he's certainly not conservative. And he's certainly and not in my mind, from what I've seen him do, he's not a Christian either. And so I think the conservatives have brought about their own destruction, but they just don't know it yet.
Well, of course, whether if George Bush is a Christian, I have no way of knowing. But, he could be a Christian, but I believe the people around him are manipulating him. And he is, of course, going with people like Cheney and Rumsfeld and the Project for the New American Century, people who really are running things in Washington, D.C. And in some respects, I think that George W. Bush is more a figurehead for the power elite that put him in power and are keeping him in power. And, of course, they're driving America towards World War III as we expand the war in the Middle East. And I fear that there will be terrible, terrible consequences if we attack Iran, if we attack Syria, if we attack North Korea, and end up turning the entire Islamic world against us. Well, Bob, what are the chances that some other country could establish a reserve currency that would rival the United States? Could the euro, a European currency, become the world reserve currency? Is there enough of it there? Is there gold backing behind it? Is it more stable than our currency today?
Well, first of all, the euro is 15% backed by gold. And I've been hearing rumors out of Europe that they may increase that percentage. In fact, when the euro was formed, both France and Germany wanted 27 and 28% backing. And that wasn't heeded. They went for the 15%. So the possibility of the euro being further backed and more fully backed by gold is a good one. Second of all, the European economies have already started into recession. Germany is already in recession. The situation in Europe is going to get worse earlier and faster than it will in the United States, but in the long run, they'll be better off because they don't have the kind of debt that we have, whether personal or governmental. The corporations are in pretty good shape, as they were during the 1930s. Most of them had lots of money. It was the individuals who suffered.
Well, now, what about our corporations? Are corporations pretty heavily indebted?
No, they're not. I mean, there's a lot of what they call junk bond debt out there. But most corporations have cut back, laid people off, cut expenses. They've increased productivity.
We're going to be back in just a moment with our special guest, Bob Chapin, and of course, we'll welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Bob Chapin. We're simply talking about what's happening. Bob thinks, of course, the economy of Europe is going to go into recession before America goes into recession, but this may be really a good thing for them as we begin to get rid of this massive debt that at least the people hold. But Bob's feeling is that many of their corporations are in pretty good shape. They don't have that much debt. Would that be a fair statement, Bob?
I think so, and you do have a lot of junk bond debt, and that will lose 75 to 80% of its value along the way as people reach for yields, and we're in a very low yield environment where interest rates aren't paying very much. And so generally speaking, the corporation should do reasonably well. So if we switch gears here and we go over to Asia, Asia is the one that's sitting with all the dollars, and I think they're going to have to wait it out. But ultimately, as the inflation increases in the United States and spreads to a great extent to most of the world, then the Asians are going to eventually have to sell U.S. Treasuries and other dollar-denominated assets. And when that happens, the inflation will end, and we will spiral into deflation, and we will have a depression that will make the 1930s look like a piece of cake.
Well, what you're suggesting then is that other countries won't be able to buy our goods. Now, we keep hearing all the time that actually we're, even though, of course, we have a massive trade deficit, we're exporting more than we ever have before. Our productivity is good. Our economy is beginning to pick up, and things are looking better. This is what we're being told by the controlled media. Is there truth that we are actually exporting more than we have in the past?
Yes, it is, but we're importing twice as much. And we're only really exporting now about 13% of the manufactured goods. And so we've lost 50% of factories, but the number of exports that we have has declined rapidly in large numbers. And so even if the dollar goes down, say, another 35%, versus the euro, and it's already gone down 34% against it in the last 3 years. And so if it does that, the euro would go from about 131 where it is to 160 to 165. That would be the euro's increase in value. And I don't think that would do be a substantial help to our exports, because we just don't export enough anymore. And so because we're a service economy. And so the fallacy of the lower dollar isn't going to work this time like it may have and has happened and has worked in the past.
I think that you're really pointing out that this is a very stereotype idea of economics. Gee, if we could just get the dollar down, then, of course, we would be able to, of course, to get the economy booming again. But we've never been in a globalist economy where we've been actively shipping our factories overseas and outsourcing our jobs, and more of our jobs are being outsourced. You know, it's not simply, the computer jobs, but so many of the other jobs are leaving this country. Even the jobs like answering the telephones or telephone answering service or repairing your computer. When my son wants to get help with his Dell computer, he talks to a fellow named John over in New Delhi, but his real name is Raj, and that is, of course, where our factory, where our jobs are going today. They're going overseas. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Bob Chapman, who's certainly one of the best informed people I know on what's really going on economically in the world today. So Bob was saying that he feels that Europe is going to be moving into a recession, but America won't be too far behind. At what point do you feel that the recession will really begin to hit here in America? Certainly, some people are losing their jobs. We know that the automotive industry lost about 1.5% in sales this last year. How soon do you really think that we're going to begin to feel the economic pinch in this country?
Well, I just saw the figures here a few minutes ago. General Motors and Ford are cutting back on production this month and also in the coming quarter. I expect 5 years from now that probably something in the vicinity of 60 to 75% of production of parts and vehicles in Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Quebec, and Ontario will be gone. They'll be gone to the third world. And very shortly here, next year, and then the year after, China is going to inundate the United States with cheap automobiles. And just most people don't know it yet. And we're not the only ones who are suffering from this outsourcing. The Canadians are starting to feel it very, very, starting to get difficult in Canada. And Europe is getting hit very, very bad, particularly Germany. They've just expanded the European Union, and they brought in Hungary and Romania and Greece and some of these other countries that have very low wages. And just as an example, in the last several months, out of 35,000 jobs in slaughterhouses in Germany, they fired 26,000 employees and hired foreigners who can work there under this European Union agreement. And they are facing the same competition in Europe as we are from the third world with their exports. And the German wage structure and the benefits are very, very strong. And the leaders are telling them, well, you got to get paid less and you have to work longer. We're going to take these benefits away from you. And that's also that they can have free trade and globalization, and the whole world can ship those cheap goods into Germany and to Europe, just like they are in the United States and Canada. And what is happening, it's not only the United States that's being destroyed financially, but it's Europe and Canada. Now, the rest of the world financially will suffer as well, because approximately two-thirds of their reserves are held in U.S. dollars. So if the dollar's going to go down 35%, everybody's going to have a great deal of pain. And I think the United States will have the greatest pain, because we have the greatest leverage, because we have the most debt.
And, you know, as you begin to see what's happening, we're really looking at a worldwide recession. Why? Because, of course, everything is built upon debt, and you've got to get rid of that debt to be able to begin to build all over again. And, you know, they've got two choices: either turn on the printing presses and let them run and destroy the value of all currencies, and specifically of our currency, or then, of course, begin to contract down the line. Well, do you think that they're going to continue expanding the currency here in an effort to keep this thing from collapsing for a year or two?
Yes, they will. And as I was going to say when one of the commercials came on before, is that M3, and we were starting to explain that, and that is the creation of money and credit by the Federal Reserve, which is a private corporation. And what they've done is this year, they've only increased the money supply, as it's called as well, or the monetary aggregates, this M3. They've only increased to 5.8% year to year. Now what they've done, instead of increasing M3, is that they have allowed banks to hold less reserves. So bank loans are up approximately 9%. And so the money that wasn't being printed by the Fed to keep the system going is being lent out by the banks instead.
But isn't that, of course, helping to create this housing bubble that is going to have to certainly be popped one of these days? It cannot keep going up indefinitely.
Well, this is another facet of this creation of recovery, so that we wouldn't have a depression.
Well, I think that, of course, you can keep staving off the inevitable for a time, but sooner or later, why, the laws of economics are going to take hold. And, well, we're going to be back here in just a moment. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call Bob Chapman, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. 464-8295. We'll be back in just a moment, and welcome your calls for Bob Chapman, the International Forecaster, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this evening is Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. And as soon as we bring our stations back on board, why, we'll tell you how to get the International Forecaster. But right now, let's go to Tony, who's calling us from, of all places, SoCal, California. Hi, Tony. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I've got actually three questions.
All right, fine.
First of all, I read a while back, I believe, from Tim Morgan, Silver Investor newsletter, that
David Morgan is
David Morgan.
Right.
Yeah, he was reporting that the governors of Mexico, I believe, had voted unanimously that they want to restore silver as part of their currency. That's question one.
All right. Well, let's just take one question.
Well, let's answer it. Let's answer it first. That's true. That has to go through the Senate and the Assembly in Mexico, and to become law, and if whether that becomes law or not remains to be seen. Under the current administration, which is the PAN party, PAN will do everything they can to defeat it. On the other hand, PAN only controls about 1% of the Assembly and the Senate, and that's what we'll call them to make it simple. And so maybe that won't get passed right now, but in the next election, which is coming up in 16 months, the national election. Of course, Fox can't run again. And I don't think that Pan's candidate, no matter who it is, has a chance of being elected. And I think that the other party, which is called PRI, P-R-I, I think they'll win between 62 and 70% of the vote. And I think there's an excellent chance under their administration that the silver could become a legal tender again.
Now,
they have a coin here called the Libertad.
And, of course, the thing is, Tony, that if any countries in the world were to go on to a gold-backed or silver-backed currency, why, they would begin to get a tremendous amount of support. And then the whole financial house of cards, all of our currencies controlled by all of our central banks are all fiat money currencies. And people would be hungry to have a gold-backed currency that they know would have an element of stability to it. And, of course, whether it's gold or silver-backed, it would have intrinsic stability, and that's the last thing that the Brotherhood of Darkness, or call what you will, the central banks, the people who rule the world really want, because, of course, that would begin to break their stranglehold on the economies of the world. So I think that's this is an exciting development. Let's hope and pray that it takes place. Because the only way we're going to be able to maintain our freedom here in the United States is if the wicked people in control lose their power. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. We have on the line Tony from Soquel with two more questions. And, of course, we'll open up our lines here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or out across America, or I should say here in the Central Coast of California, at 464-8295. 464-8295. But, Bob, before we get to Tony's second, third, and fourth and fifth question, let's go ahead and tell our listeners how they can get the International Forecaster.
Well, that's pretty simple. All they have to do is call toll-free to this number, 877-479-8178. Again, that's 877-479-8178. For those of you who are on the Internet, we have a site. The address is theinternationalforecaster.com. TheInternationalForecaster.com. And for those who would like to email, that email address is international_. An underscore is like a dash, but it's lower down. It's like a line on a line. So it's international_forecaster@yahoo.com.
Okay, then we'll try to get that one more time. Okay, Tony, do you have two more questions? We've got a board full of
Rice
Looks Like Christmas. Go ahead.
Oh, good. I like that. I wanted to ask about the repercussions of what's going on in South Korea right now. It sounds like they're getting really antsy about holding U.S. dollars, and if you think that since the South Koreans have a great love affair with gold, that they might be considering using their reserves in that manner. And
let's get that question answered, and then we'll go to
that. Well, I could give a very quick answer. You did not see in your media the fact that what is called the Bellagio Group, which is the Southeast Asian countries, including China and Japan, met last week to decide what they were going to do. And previously on the program, I mentioned what alternatives they have, and they're not very good. And so, yes, some of them will be selling some dollars, and they will be buying other current currencies, and they will be buying gold. And all of them have been doing that in a small way for the last year and a half to 2 years.
Okay, then. But I think that when South Korea announced that they were going to start moving out of the dollar, somebody must have really leaned on them very, very hard, because the following day, why their report was, well, we really didn't mean what we said yesterday. We would never pull out of the dollar. We trust the dollar. It's wonderful. And of course, everybody knows that this is only temporary. Any central bank that continues to hold dollars isn't really very smart, because Warren Buffett and George Soros and the people who really know what's going on are all getting out of the dollar. Anything else? Did you have one more question, Tony?
Real quickly on China. Since the dollar has been declining as rapidly against the euro as it has over the last few years, That means that with the Chinese yuan, or however you pronounce it, being linked to the dollar, their currency is also dropping right along with ours, and it really hasn't been to their benefit. In some ways it has. But my question is, do you see the Chinese delinking that tie with the dollar and allowing their currency to float upwards, as because it is so undervalued as it is? And if so, what repercussions could there be? And I'll listen on the air. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Well, I think that they will start to make small changes, but you're never going to see large changes because they want to keep that trade advantage. And by the time they get around to really getting serious about revaluing their currency, which is probably 40 to 50% undervalued, we're going to have raging inflation, or we might even have raging inflation being over. We might even be spiraling by that time into a depression. China's caught between the rock and the hard place, and they want to keep their people working, and so they're going to go along with the program.
Okay, let's go to Ed, who's calling in from Idaho. Hi, Ed. How you doing? What part of Idaho are you in?
Great, yourself.
Okay. What part?
Panhandle of Idaho.
Okay, go ahead. Do you have a question for
me? Well, I'm a big fan of yours, and I didn't quite catch your answer as to when you think that the time frame is for when things really start getting desperate in this country.
All right. Could you tell us what your time frame is for things going from bad to worse or getting
worse? Well, I think the extrapolation of higher interest rates, which have to occur this year and perhaps in a big way between now and the end of June, I think you can expect an increase in interest rates for sure in March at their meeting, the FOMC, which is the Fed meeting. But the American economy in spots has started to slow down, especially in goods and heavy equipment. And also their costs have gone up dramatically because of the increase in commodity prices. And so as we go toward the end of the year and interest rates go higher, the economy will begin to slow. Real estate will have peaked, particularly in hot markets. And in fact, real estate might come down this year, maybe 3 to 5, 6, 7%. And the next year will get progressively worse in the year following that. And I think that probably as we move into 2007, 2008, we will have already experienced hyperinflation, and we will be beginning to see a top on that hyperinflation and the beginnings of depression.
So you think, what, about 2008?
Yeah, I think so, because things never happen as quickly as you think, unless there's some strange event happened, like the Koreans the other day saying that they were going to sell dollars. Well, they already were selling dollars, not in a big way. And, of course, they get slapped down quickly by the United States government. But the point is, there's going to be events that are going to happen, and we don't know what they are yet, and they're going to mess everything up, and that's always the way. The best plans of mice and men always fall apart.
And, Ed, I've always noticed that things always go longer than I expect. They always go higher than I expect. And then when they turn down, they always go further down than I expect. So it's just going to be a matter of time and waiting. Believe me, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Thanks very much. Let's go to Ray, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. How are you?
No complaints at all. Have a question for our guest.
Yeah, you know, I was told the other night, I went to a party and I talked to this man. He was a businessman. And he told me, he said that the United States is controlled by British bankers. Could that be possible?
Well, how would you respond to that, Bob?
Well, you know, I tell you, I have my own ideas, which are almost exactly the same as yours, and you're really better at that than I am.
Mm.
All right, well, basically, the English bankers and the American mm-hmm. bankers work in concert. There is an Anglo-American mm-hmm. establishment, mm-hmm. not only of intellectuals, but of bankers. And mm-hmm. the influence on America has always been tremendously strong. The first central bank of the world was established in 1694 by William Paterson. It was the Bank of England. Mm-hmm. And the Bank of England has continued to dominate the American central bankers all along. Now, the power, the real power of the world seemed to transfer from Great Britain to the United States after the First World War, when, of course, England was totally bankrupt, mm-hmm. you know, as a result of the terrible strain on their economy. Mm-hmm. So, but we always work in concert. They will work together. But mm-hmm. there tremendous English influence on America, uh-huh. tremendous American influence on England.
Yeah.
Anything else?
And I had a question. Is the IRS really, is it valid to have the IRS? Now, I had heard that... I think in 1939 or something, Congress decided to start the IRS. Was it somewhere around there?
No, it was back in
1913. 13.
Right, that was when the 16th Amendment was passed.
Mm-hmm. Well, is it really necessary to have an IRS?
well, go ahead. Bob, how would you respond
to that? Well, I certainly don't think so. Yeah. But anyway, it's illegal. There's no question. It's never been ratified.
Right. And, it's never.
If you try to fight that in court without a lot of power behind you, you're going to have a hard time doing it individually. So don't try, because I've seen lots of people go down in flames. Good people that couldn't get any support because everybody's so terrified of them.
Yeah,
they act
like
a Gestapo.
Yeah,
let me, if you go back, Ray, and you read the Communist Manifesto, mm-hmm. point two of the Communist Manifesto calls for a progressive income tax. Now, why is that important? Because it gives the centralized government a lot of money. And when they have money, they can buy the support of the states, they can buy the support of politicians, they can buy the tremendous support, and they can then use that money to push this whole idea of imperialism. They can finance their wars and their revolutions and their CIAs. So that's what the income tax is all about. Doesn't matter whether it was ever ratified or not, I think it really wasn't. You're better off to pay your taxes and then spend your time trying to help us educate the American people rather than worried about was it ratified or not. And even though I don't believe it was ratified, in the final analysis, it doesn't matter.
No, I guess it doesn't.
Okay, anything else, Ray?
I guess about it.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you, bye.
Let's go to Paul calling from Ohio. And, of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. Our guest is Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster. Go ahead, Paul. Did you have a question?
In the next 5 years, the 75% drop and everything, about the fifth year of that five-year plan, do you see really things, people starving to death in the streets, and maybe they'll bring in the UN to take control?
Well, I think those kind of things can happen, and that's why I tell people, and I have for many, many, many years, 46 years for that matter, that they should have a supply of food and water and auxiliary power if they can afford to do so, and they should be well armed under the law, and particularly with assault weapons, and those things could very well happen in 2007 or 8 or 9.
Well, people are going to be taxed out.
I think the chances are very, very good that they will.
Everybody's going to lose their property. They won't have any place to go. Where are we going to go?
Well,
I don't know.
We won't have anything. I mean, they'll by that, and it sounds what you're saying, Mr. Chapman. I believe a lot of what you're saying is true. By that fifth year, where are we going? I mean, where would we go to store this stuff? You know that I see it. They're either rounding people.
I don't think they're going to throw everybody out of their homes, whether they can make their house payments or not. There would be no sense in doing that at that time. The real problem is the government is the enemy, and the government has brought in, perhaps as you cited, NATO or UN troops or whatever. And when you have that happen in a society, just like we just saw in Iraq, that's what happens. You have insurgent guerrilla warfare, and that's what we'll have in the United States.
Paul, I think that what we have to do is try to educate the American people.
That's what I've been trying to do, Dr. Stan. I'm working right along there with you and Bob.
And I appreciate it. And incidentally, if you know anybody who has access to cable television in your area, they have these public access channels. Will provide, you know, free of charge a video to show on that public access. You can get done with it, send it back, and we'll send you another one. We want to use public access television to reach as many people as we can. But, you know, as we look down the line and we see what's going to happen, I see terrible things happening to America. But behind what's happening economically and politically is what's happening spiritually. And I believe God is going to bring his judgment on this country. Our job is to be close to him. In the final analysis, we can make all of our plans. But we're going to have to rely on the Lord to get us through what lies ahead.
He'll be fortunate for us if he evacuates us out of here before that happens.
Wouldn't that be nice? But anyway, I'm not going to plan on that. And I just hope the pre-tribulation people are right. I don't know where they are or not, but I hope that they're right and that I'm wrong.
The church has not been accounted under wrath. Christ isn't going to suffer twice, so I'm sure that he's going to evacuate us out.
Well, I just don't know whether it's going to happen before things get terribly bad. That is the thing. I believe we have to be involved, and then we'll wait and see what God has in store. Hey, thanks so much, Paul. And
thank you both.
Let's go to Diane calling from Aptos. Hi, Diane. How are you doing?
I'm good. I have a question for the guest. Is the Canadian dollar backed by gold?
The answer to that is no. In fact, the Canadian the Treasury, the Reserve Bank of Canada, or the Bank of Canada, has very little of any gold. They have been a prolific gold seller for many years. And I think it was perhaps a year or maybe 9 months ago that they proclaimed they had none left.
Okay. And, of course, then you have a total fiat currency system. You can print as much money as you want to, and if you do, you destroy the value of the savings of your entire population. You impoverish the people.
So it's no better than our dollar?
Nope.
Okay, thank you.
Goodbye, and let's go to Rick calling from Texas. Hi, Rick. How are you doing? What part of Texas are you calling from?
Athens.
Are that close to Austin? Or?
Well, it's not real far. It's about 3 hours.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question? Are you listening to us on the Internet or shortwave?
Shortwave.
Okay, would you have a question for our guest?
Well, yeah, mainly a question for our guest, then a comment, or if I could. Which would you like first?
Okay, well, give your comment first and then your question.
Okay, well, someone said, you know, God's going to evacuate us out. Well, he didn't evacuate the Chinese out that have suffered this long. He didn't evacuate the Russians out that were put in the gulags for their faith. I think it's the height of hubris for the fat, dead Laodicean American church to just think that God's going to pull them out of this thing when the only apostle of the original 12, I'm going to put Paul in Judas's place, that escaped death was John the Divine. And he had to spend his last days alone on an island. And he got the revelation, of course, but I just think it's really dangerous.
I think you're absolutely right, Rick. I think that we should plan on having to be here, and I would love it that God would take us away, but I'm not sure he's going to at all, and I sure wouldn't bank on it. We're involved. We have an obligation to be involved. Hey, what's your question, because we're running out of time?
Oh, okay, sorry. I wanted to ask your guest, what would be the best country if judgment really did start to happen on America? What would be the best country to, or maybe not country, but just place to flee to?
Well, I hear the music, so we'll come back in a minute.
All right. We're going to just take a break here, and you hang on there, and Rick, and we'll get Bob's thoughts on that. But I will tell you what I think. I think the battle for the survival of civilization is right here. I would love to take off and go some other place. I don't think any place in the world is going to be safe, and America is destroyed. Why, the whole world will sink into tyranny and brutality and horror unprecedented in all history. Because the people are moving us towards the New World Order. I believe, of course, are come from the dark side. They've literally sold their souls to the devil. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Chapman. Our caller is Rick from Texas. And the question is, what country could we flee to get away from this?
Well, first of all, I think you had the answer, but for those who do want to leave, probably the most accessible and probably the easiest countries and the least expensive to get to would be Mexico, Central, and South America. Of all of those countries, probably the most solvent is Mexico. They have probably over 100 years in oil and gas in the ground, and they're very solvent. They do have large reserves, about $50 billion, but most of it is in dollars, unfortunately, and I think they're in the same position everybody else is. They really can't sell. But Mexico is a much different place than it was some years ago, and so for you, particularly, being where you are, it's very, very accessible. So to make things easy, I think that would be probably the easiest destination.
But, of course, there still is a lawlessness there, and Americans keep disappearing, and people keep getting killed. I suppose that, you know, maybe all we read in the newspapers is more dramatic things, but they certainly don't have the laws of the safety that we have here, do they, Bob?
Well, they don't along the border because of the crime that spills over from one side to another. You've got the drug lords and gangs, which congregate along the border because that's where they operate their businesses. If you go into Mexico City, like any big city, you're going to have crime, and it's not nice. But the remainder of the country in Mexico, the crime is extremely low. Places like Guadalajara and Puerto Vallarta and Cancun, which are resort cities, Acapulco, they do not have high crime rates.
Okay, well, that's
only Mexico City and only along the border.
Okay, there's your answer, Rick. So I hope that we're out of time, but thank you so very much for calling. And I want you getting
Spanish
everybody there in Texas listening to us, will you?
I will. So I should learn Spanish then, I guess.
All right, well, you better get started working right now. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, Bob, I want to thank you so much for being with us, and we'll look forward to having you back on our afternoon program on a regular basis.
Well, I always enjoy being with you. It's a great show, and you're a wonderful host, and thank you for having me again.
All right. Our guest has been Bob Chapman, and get that address out one more time,
The phone number toll-free is 877-479-8178.
Well, thanks so much, Bob. Good night.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, this is the time I have to remind our guests that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there listening to us, why, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us, it's 5 hours a day. We reach out across America trying to get people to think about what's going on. Why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like a free copy of our January newsletter, which goes into American imperialism and, of course, the plan for American domination economically of the entire world and how this has been done. Why, glad to send you a free copy if you call us at 1-800-544-8927. I love America. But the America I love is not the America that's controlled by a financial elite that wants to dominate the world and bring about a new world order and a new world religion. It's the America where we were a nation separate from the others, where we valued liberty, where we valued traditional values, where we worshiped God, where we restricted the power of government over the lives of the people, where we could, you know, have tears in our eyes when the Star Spangled Banner was sung, or when the Old Glory was marched by. I couldn't help but notice that at the Super Bowl when they brought in the President Bush and President Clinton, and everybody else was singing the Star Spangled Banner, neither one of our presidents bothered to sing the Star Spangled Banner. I think that tells you a lot about where their allegiance is. It's not to America. It's to the globalism that, of course, is captured the imagination of the elite, and the elite are placed in the position of power to betray the American people. Yes, indeed, betray the people of the world. So please look into our website. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our programs there on the Internet 5 hours a day, either directly or indirectly, linking to the other stations we're on. You can listen to our archive programs at RadioLiberty.com. Your job is to tell other people about our programs. Your job is, if you have a cable television locally in your area with public access, to get some of our videos, get one at a time, get them on there, and we'll be glad to send it to you, and then you can send it back and we'll send you another one. But we want to get the truth about what's going on out across America, and people telling people is the way to do it, because the media is controlled. If you doubt that, you need to read Professor Ben Bagdakian's book, The New Media Monopoly. This is the 7th edition. 5 mega corporations dominate the American media and effectively control what the American people think. If you haven't seen our new video on None Dare Call It Genocide, or our older videos on population control, or The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, The Brotherhood of Darkness, Iraq, The Untold Story, Iraq, The Road to World Government, Sustainable Development, The Road to Tyranny, and so many other videos we have. They're educational. They will help you to really understand what's going on in the world today. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'd be glad to send you a catalog. If you're interested in getting a case of our books, that's 62 books, in a case, but the wonderful opportunity, this is going to be just about over. We've got a couple of new orders for cases of the books in today, and our offer will be drawing to a close very, very soon. So if you're interested in getting a case of our books, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, because once the printing presses start, that's the end. No more offers. And then, of course, please tell others about our programs, and then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection as we reach out across America on shortwave, internet, satellite, and certainly on regular radio stations. Every week, about 60 different outlets or more. And so until, I guess it'll be tomorrow at the same time. May the Lord be with you.